Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. This weekend marks the 2017 induction ceremonies into the South Dakota Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. With us now in our studios in Vermilion, Nick Schwabach. He is being honored with a Lifetime Achievement Award for his induction. Today's Friday. It's time for A Moment in Sound. Nick, welcome back to the studio.
Thank you, Lori.
We rearranged a little bit since you've been here last.
Yes, indeed.
So, are you tired of talking about yourself yet? A lot of people have questions for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I was kind of leery, you know. I mean, it was nice to get the call, and I thought, oh boy, are they going to make a big deal out of this? And yeah, it turns out, you know, hey, go talk to these people. Well, okay, you know, I'm kind of uneasy with it, but that's okay because it's a nice honor.
What happens this weekend?
Friday, I'm going up to Sioux Falls, and there's just kind of a meet and greet with inductees about 6 o'clock and a little banquet, I believe, and then there is a jam session that starts about 8 o'clock at the Ramcota, and I think there'll be, you know, the inductees and a lot of good players there, and So I think that it's just kind of a loosey-goosey affair, and we'll just see what happens.
Yeah. Do you have to give a speech, or do you have
No.
No, that's this is bad enough, having to sort of make the rounds.
And then Saturday night is the headline bands will be playing, the Wakefield guys. I'm looking forward to that. That's a really good band, you know. I used to catch them every now and then at the Lazy D in South Yankton. Back in the day, if I wasn't working that night and they were there, really enjoyed them. Very, very good band. So the bands will be playing tomorrow night, and then they're going to have, like, the induction thing or whatever that involves.
The ceremonial initiation.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure.
So what makes a good band to see live? You mentioned, you know, just kind of enjoying it. What makes it something that catches on, that people remember over the years?
Well, you know, we all have our preferences for types of music, you know. But anybody who works together for any amount of time, you really develop a rapport with them so that you can kind of think like they do, kind of know what they're going to do. And, you know, that shows. That shows the band that I've been in, the bands I've been in the years, you know, as the years go by, you can kind of just look at each other, you know, if something has to change, like maybe somebody will be sitting in and they'll start singing a song, and we kind of look at each other and say, we need to change this key, and we, you know, give a signal, let's take it up to D on the chorus, and then, you know, we can do that seamlessly.
Right.
But when you see bands, you know, that kind of thing shows, you know, not so much if you're just really playing it so loose like that, but if you've been doing the same stuff, you know, and you're used to it.
What's that feeling like to have played with somebody for such a long time, or to play with someone who is so like-minded that, you know, you have that sort of communication?
That's hard to describe because it's just a knowing, you know, like, okay, I know what you're thinking. And if they play a particular phrase a certain way, you might want to, and if you're playing with them, you might want to answer that phrase in the same style. Yeah. If, you know, they play a little staccato hoopity-doo, you know, or something like that, or a little frill, you know, that you can answer with your instrument. Or just, or even playing rhythm like I do so much in the tune band, you know, behind a couple great instrumentalists, you know, just to start driving the rhythm a little harder when you hear somebody's really getting hot and they really want to do this and hit it.
Yeah.
Then you just go right with them and help them as much as you can, you know. And it's you know, it's subtle in a way, but in another way, you know, it's not, because audiences can feel that.
Mm-hmm. Generosity? Is it is making music with someone an act of generosity, an act of collaboration, obviously, but is there a moment where you just have to, you know, you're really paying attention to the other musician?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, like I say, in the Public Domain Tune Band, the guys who do the heavy lifting, the playing the rides for the most part, are my partner of so many years, Owen DeYoung, and C.J. Coker, our sax player. And so it's just a joy to listen to those guys play. And when they're having a good night, you know, I mean, it's so obvious. And they always have a good night.
Right.
But, you know, it's just back them up, get out of the way, and let them go. You know, just take it, boys. You know, it's it's your show, you know.
Like, yeah. What kind of conversations do you have after you've put the instruments away and the night's over? Do you talk about how the evening went, or you just go home?
No, you know, you just kind of look at each other and go, hey, that really worked. You know, that was a good night, you know. But, you know, there have been nights, depending on where you were, when, you know, people might be unfamiliar with what they come to expect, and maybe they just don't show up. And it gets to be, okay, we've been playing for 3.5 hours, and the place is really thinning out, and nobody seems to care, you know.
Yeah.
And we might talk about that, you know, like, well,
what can we do?
Yeah, well, we did the best we could. I hope it was good enough.
You didn't know. Have too many of those nights, probably.
No,
yeah.
No.
So. Will you play something for us now, and then we'll talk a little bit about your musical background and. Nick okay. Schwabach, if you're just tuning in.
Yeah, I was just ran across this. I was mentioning to you, I was out in my shop listening to an old CD, and I heard this song. I never play it, but I thought maybe I'd play a little bit of it today. Put on your red dress, baby, 'cause we're going out tonight. Put on your red dress, baby, 'cause we're going out tonight. Better wear some boxing gloves in case some fool might wanna fight. Put on your high-heeled sneakers and we'll dance all night long. Put on your high-heeled sneakers and we'll dance all night long. We'll ask that DJ to play our favorite song.
Mm-hmm.
something <You're just> like that.
Tuning in, something like that. It's Nick Schwabach with us today for Moment in Sound. 2017 inductee, a Lifetime Achievement Award for the South Dakota Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I have the best job ever, by the way, to just sit and be able to listen to that. So thank you. Thank you. How'd you get started?
When I was probably 12, 13 years old, you know, of course, I always listened to music, listened to the radio, listened to the rock and roll, which is so good. You know, growing up in the 50s, since the time I was a real youngster, you know, I remember seeing Elvis and that kind of thing. But then when I was a teenager, I really wanted to get a guitar because I thought they were so cool, you know. And I was listening to Bob Dylan, folky people like Peter Paul Mary and the Kingston Trio. So I was trying to play this incredibly bad guitar and do what they did. And I did start learning then, you know, but it's probably a good thing I had such a bad instrument, because when I finally got a good one, I couldn't believe how easy it was to play.
Really?
But then as you get a little older, and the Stones and the Beatles came on the scene, and that was a great time to be, you know, 13, 14 years old, because it was so exciting to hear, you know, the way the radio stations would just play a little introduction to the next Beatles song, and you go, oh, hurry up, play it, get to it, you know.
Yeah.
So, all the British bands really kind of set the world on fire, you know, not only me, but everybody. And that really got me excited, you know. So,
were there people around you who were getting excited about it too? Was it, you know, sort of in the air, or was it something that you had keyed into and your friends didn't quite get what was going on?
Oh no, it was everybody was so tuned into it. You know, you see those old clips of the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show. Mm-hmm. I remember my dad thought, oh, my God, you know, who are these long-haired hooligans? And my sister and I were just going, hey, come on, the Beatles are going to come on. The Beatles are going to come on. And my dad said, no, we're going to turn the TV off. And he went and turned the TV off. And we just screamed like, you know, but we knew our neighbors next door. We were just about to run out the door, go down the block and bust in the house so they could watch the Beatles on. But he quickly relented, you know, and just turned it back on so we could see it, of course. He didn't understand, I want to hold your hand and,
right.
and all that stuff. It was absolutely the greatest thing in the world.
Is there music like that today that you think, you know, because all the bands that you've mentioned are bands that endure. There's the same, you know, groups that my dad introduced me to when I was little. Those records I still have of his, Dylan and the Kingston Trio and the Beatles and Elvis and Peter, Paul and Mary, those are still all in my heavy rotation at home. So yeah. Is there music now that's coming out that you think will endure like that?
I kind of doubt it, but I'm probably not the best person to ask because I don't keep up with, you know, a lot of bands, and then I'll see somebody on Austin City Limits and go, wow, that's some good stuff. I mean, nothing that sets my hair on fire like the bands in those days do, but it always seems like I'm playing catch-up, remember?
Yeah.
When Fish came out, I heard the band Fish, you know, I heard of them for years and years and years, and I never heard their music until I saw them on TV one night, and I went, whoa, that's great. I mean, that guy's Trey Anastasio, just a great guitar player, you know. So, geez, I better get on this, you know. But I was years behind the time, you know. But I got some Fish albums, you know. I still listen to them a lot. But that's about the only way I keep up anymore is I catch somebody on public TV and go, hey, there's a there's hope. There's a lot of good players out there, and there are a lot of good players out there.
When you look at a Lifetime Achievement Award, the first thing that comes to my mind is the friendships that are developed from traveling the state and playing with the same group of guys and with different musicians over the years as well. How much has the friendship meant to you in conjunction with how much has the music meant to you?
It's absolutely everything. It's essential because every band I've played in have been my good friends and remain my good friends. And I got a call from a guy, a friend of mine in Calgary. We used to play together, and heard about this. And he called me to congratulate me. And we can laugh about the times we had together. But when you go back to the Totally Amazing Bitsko band, when, we were pretty much a on the road band, so you live with those guys every day of the week, and it's such a brotherhood, and that they're just the best friends in the world. And I couldn't imagine not having those people in my life. They're just to the present day, to the bands I'm playing with now, just great guys, get along great.
Would you play something else for us? We got time for one more if you want.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll play something more like we do in the Public Domain Tune Band, which is a totally different monster. We play old jazz standards. But I guess this really isn't that, but it's... I got them blues when my baby left me down by the Frisco Bay. Ocean liner came and took her away. Didn't mean to treat her bad. She was the best friend I ever had. She made me sigh, she made me cry. Made me wanna lay down my head and die. Ain't got a nickel, ain't got a lousy dime. If she never come back, I'm afraid I'm gonna lose my mind. But if she ever come back to stay, it's gonna be another brand new day. Walking with my baby down beside the San Francisco Bay. Well, I'm sitting down on the back porch, don't know which way to go. The girl that I'm so crazy about, she don't love me anymore. Well, I think I'm gonna take a freight train while I'm feeling blue. Gonna ride it to the end of the line, thinking only of you. Well, I ain't got a nickel, ain't got a lousy dime. If she never come back, I'm afraid I'm gonna lose my mind. But if she ever come back to stay, it's gonna be another brand new day. Walking with my baby down beside the San Francisco Bay. Walking with my baby down beside the San Francisco Bay.
Nick Schwabach, 2017 Lifetime Achievement Award for the South Dakota Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You're not done playing, so what's next for you? What are you really excited about doing now? You're having fun.
Oh, yeah. Like we were talking about. Boy, I retired a few years ago, and so doing music is, on the weekends as we do, is... the only job, I guess you'd say, that I have. But Ellen and I, we live on an acreage. We've been out there for 30 years. And those 30 years, you think, boy, I wish I had time to, go work on the barn a little bit. It needs this, it needs that. Clean up the grove. And now I have the time to do those things. I wish I just had more strength and energy, in my... and that I was younger, but I can go at my own pace, do what I have to do, and sit down, rest, and play with the dogs. So I'm just really living the good life out in the country, and I have lifetimes of work to do out there that I'm not going to get around to, but I do what I can.
Lifetimes of achievement yet to come. So, Nick, thank you so much for being here today. Congratulations. Well deserved.
Thank you, Lori.
Thanks for the years of and more to come of music.
Thanks very much.
Nick Schwayback has been our guest for this week's Moment in Sound segment. He receives his Lifetime Achievement Award from the South Dakota Rock and Roll of Fame during ceremonies this weekend in Sioux Falls.